Only the light of the digital clock on the bedside table lit the room, a faint red glow deepening shadows as they moved in slow unison beneath the sheets. Her skin felt soft and warm against his, and she seemed small and delicate beneath his hands. Her passion had an urgency about it that he calmed with gentle kisses on her neck and shoulders, feeling her rise beneath him, hips pushing hard up against him. Her fingers dug into his back, legs wrapping themselves around him, surprisingly strong. A hand slid past his waist to find him and hold him and guide him toward her. His mouth found her nipples, and he felt his own control slipping away. Then the telephone rang.
"Ignore it,"
her voice whispered breathlessly in the dark. But it was hard to maintain focus as one long, single ring followed another, penetrating, insistent. He slid his mouth across her breasts, feeling her fingers tighten around him as the answering machine kicked in and the voice of a man, long dead, filled the room.
"This is Adam Killian. Please leave a message after the tone."
"Shit," he heard her say as the long tone sounded.
"They never did change the message."
A woman's voice followed Killian's. A voice bizarrely familiar to Enzo, but it was a moment before he recognized it.
"Hello, Enzo? I hope this is the right number. Roger gave me it. He said he had no idea when you'd be back. And I can't wait any longer. If Mohammed won't come to the mountain..."
Jane had stopped moving beneath him, her grip on him slackening.
"Who is it?" "I'll be arriving on the lunchtime ferry tomorrow. It would be nice if you could pick me up. I take it you've got somewhere I can stay. If not, you can book me a hotel room. I'll see you then."
And she hung up. Jane and Enzo lay perfectly still in the bed, as if someone had pressed a pause button. The silence between them seemed to last an eternity. Finally, Enzo said,
"That was Charlotte."
She slid out from under him and rolled away to lie next to him, staring blindly at the ceiling.
"And Charlotte is?"
"A friend."
"A lover?"
He wasn't sure quite how to respond and thought about how to frame his reply.
"Too long. Your hesitation tells all."
"I haven't slept with her for a long time."
"She seems very keen to see you."
"We met in Paris before I left. She wanted to talk, but I didn't have time."
"And she can't wait?"
"Apparently not."
He heard her slow, steady breathing in the dark.
"I suppose you'll be wanting her to stay here."
"I don't know. I hadn't thought about it."
"Well, you wouldn't put her in a hotel, would you?"
"I guess not."
"And the guest bedroom in the house is filled with boxes, so it'll have to be here."
"I suppose it will."
He heard the sound of the covers being thrown back, and she stood up, the silhouette of her naked body just visible in the faint glow of the clock.
"We'd better not soil the bed, then, because I really don't feel like changing the sheets."
She turned on a bedside lamp and crossed the floor, picking up her clothes from where she had dropped them.
"Jane."
She started to dress.
"Yes?"
"You don't have to go."
"I think I do."
He laid his head on the pillow and closed his eyes, listening to the sounds of her pulling on her clothes, then her coat being lifted from the bed. She said nothing as she opened the door, and he heard her footsteps on the stairs, then the front door shutting behind her as she slipped out into the night.
"Damn!"
His frustration echoed around the room. It seemed that even although Charlotte was unprepared to commit herself to him, she was still intent, even from a distance, on making sure that no one else could, either.